Gentlemen, long time no hear from. This is your intrepid host, Nick Way, a.k.a. Thaddeus Preston, a.k.a. That Boy D. Thought I'd just do kind of a morning recording. It's kind of early here in the morning for me, but I feel like I needed to get some things off my chest. So for those of you who have probably been following me on the Facebook, or if anyone who knows who even who I am will follow me on the Twitter, it's at Nick Way. I was attended to Albuquerque Community Immigration Forum at our National Hispanic Center. This is kind of something that, I guess the Libre Initiative has been kind of setting up all across the, at least here in the state of New Mexico. But I guess it's all across the country because they are trying to deal with the issue of immigration. They come to it from a standpoint of compassion, pro-immigration, not necessarily open borders, but pro-immigration kind of standpoint. And it was an interesting forum. I mean, generally speaking, from a philosophical standpoint, I kind of agree with the fact that, like, you know, ICE kind of sucks and the tariffing of people via an immigration system has a nasty tendency to be, well, anti-freedom. And when you strictly enforce a border, you have a nasty tendency to do things that are violations of, I wouldn't say human rights. No one's being murdered or tortured that we know of yet. But definitely the free movement of people, particularly if they're trying to leave their country of origin, which sucks. That said, they were very, very open, and Daniel Garza, who's one of the kind of the national spokesperson for the Libre Initiative, has met and sat down with the White House in dealing with the issue. The White House does want to work with whoever they can work with to give some sort of comprehensive immigration reform, but the White House is definitely competing with two different visions of how things want to be done. Let's just make it binary for now, but it's much, much more layered and complicated from what is explained. On the one hand, you definitely have your border hawks and people who absolutely positively want them to do something about that. They want their damn wall, and in even some other extremes. They want a curb in legal immigration, which I think is preposterous and stupid. Even I think that's stupid, and I'm a relatively bordertarian type of guy. But on the other side, you have this extreme that, like, anyone can come in, and anyone should be let in, and anyone should be allowed to have free reign and take in our hospitality. And that's, that deals with the education system, that deals with access to public services, which a lot of these illegal immigrants have access to, whether you want to or not. They may be paying taxes on the one hand when they purchase with their Federal Reserve notes certain things. They may actually even be displacing workers because it's easier to get these guys under the table. But a lot of those things are just a symptom of a welfare state that we've built over the past, we're getting to be almost 75 years. A lot of that is our labor markets are too regulated and highly regulated to the point where you're almost kind of encouraging black market activity. And then you have these people living in the shadows anyway. And so they're victims of crimes and or they commit crime. Because when you're living outside the law, to some people, very small percentage, but to some, why live by the law? You're living outside the law. So that said, it was a good talk in the forum. They brought in some local representative who used to represent a certain area in the city of Albuquerque, and her story of being a child of an immigrant family. Now, caveat: she came here relatively young, and her parents came here legally. And I tried to kind of, there was no confrontation to, like, stand up and give questions. You had to write your questions down. So it was really hard to kind of write the question necessary, because I do have sympathy. I just don't think that like we as a nation state should just let any and every damn body in. But it's better to get people to kind of tell their story about how they're dealing with it, because ultimately it's the state that's the problem. It's the fact that the state hands out, you know, favor and dependency. And so when other people are coming in competing for that government largesse, they get pissed when they're not at the front of the line, i.e. or they have to press 2 for Spanish or 2 for English. That anger is real. There are many, many inputs into why we have immigration issues that we have today. We can, you know, and all of them, almost all of them, not all of them, but most of them stem from state interference in the free movement of people across borders. It's state interference in the war on drugs. It's dare I say it, a little bit of imperialism. Dare I say it, it's a little bit of xenophobia. Dare I say it, it's even just a little bit racist. It's welfare. It's trade policy. It's all these things. It's all these inputs over 50, 60 years of doing business in the hemisphere, i.e. being based on the Monroe Doctrine, being the American Empire in the hemisphere. I mean, it's a lot of that stuff, man. All that stuff comes in to give us the kind of immigration system that we have today. And not to mention the fact that, I mean, a lot of immigration law up until the 60s was pretty racist. But then you have the added benefit, not necessarily a benefit, not that it's ever a positive thing, but you have the added, let's find a better word, the added negative effect of the fact that it has the unfettered immigration from south of the border in the hemisphere has led to the displacement of American workers, and it has disrupted some communities, particularly the African American community. So it's a much more complicated issue, but I think the Libre Initiative is doing good work of trying to at least work with the administration to get some things done. There was a proposal on the table to basically grant DACA recipients, 2-3 million of them, citizenship, or people who are under DACA, actually. They didn't really, then you had the wall. Then you had increased, enforcement mechanisms and, you know, more resources for Border Patrol and ICE. Yeah, that's, you know, I mean, you know, when you really look at the size of our immigration police force, it's pretty damn huge already. And increasing the resources in their number just seems to be overkill. But I know people want the border enforced. Mr. Garza came out, he lives near actually a border and a wall. And to get rid of that or pull that away or pull that policing away, a lot of people are going to bitch about that. And probably with good reason, too, because they're dealing with a lot of bullshits out the border. The cartels run that country. We don't like to say it. We don't want to fall in the trap of thinking that all Mexicans are gangsters and shit like that. But, like, they're terrible criminal elements with tons of weaponry and access to the political, you know, mechanisms in the country and institutions in the country that are taking huge advantage of the porous border, the insecurity of the border, our zero tolerance on certain drugs and stuff like that. But, you know, the administration is willing to, you know, as part of giving people under DACA access to citizenship, you know, they're going to want concessions in the border security aspect of it by increasing the police force that is the Border Patrol and ICE and building a wall. It's necessary. They also, in part of this deal that Mr. Garza was just explaining that the administration wants to do is they want to cut legal immigration. The Libre Initiative is absolutely positively against this, with good reason. They're an immigration advocacy group, or at least one of their functions is Latino immigration advocacy. And so, yeah, they're going to turn that away. They weren't down with it. And I don't understand. I mean, I don't understand why we need to curb legal immigration. Maybe a million a year is a lot because we do take in it. We do grant green cards and, basically grant citizenship at a million and a million and a half people a year. We're doing a decent job of absorbing them. But yeah, there's, people want to do what we did post Ellis Island and just clamp down on immigration. And it's a tough nail to crack. As a evil bordertarian, I don't necessarily think that that kind of restrictionist policy is ultimately positive. But I do understand that you're dealing with a populace who have just elected a populist to do something about immigration. And one of these things, these wet dreams that a lot of border hawks have had for the past 20 years is restricting legal immigration. But they brought up a pretty good point in the forum, is this, that this only, particularly in this day and age, and particularly with Mexico being a lot less stable than it was, let's say, 30 years ago, you're not going to stop people from coming here illegally. The best you could hope for is probably a guest worker program, more streamlining of asylum seekers, and really just increasing quotas on all immigrant groups that come to the, but I don't think we have quotas anymore. Oh yeah, they wanted to get, oh yeah, another one of the Trump proposals was also getting rid of this visa lottery, and just instead of just doing this nonsense, they wanted to just kind of, no, well, we don't need a lottery. We'll just let people in. And so actually, that's actually a pretty positive. The visa lottery was kind of stupid. And it's not like that system couldn't have been gamed anyway. But that said, I truly believe that, these guys, Libra Initiative is one of them. The young lady who was up there, I don't quite remember what group she represented, but it was some, I'm pretty sure some left of center feel good immigration group, Latino group. There are genuine people out here having discussions, trying to figure out what needs to be done. You actually have an administration that wants to get something done, even if some of the provisions that it is proposing are, some people believe maybe a little bit draconian, but yeah, whatever, right? I mean, they won. It was a good experience. And it's always good to meet up with the Liberty elite of Albuquerque and New Mexico as a whole. And I found this very, very fascinating. I found this a very, very good forum. I'm kind of glad I went, even though I did have to go after work. And lasted a long time. I didn't get home till pretty late, but I mean, still a pretty good time. So, those are my thoughts on immigration. I'm softening my stance. I might even be a little closet open borders, but as someone who is trying to involve himself in more of the political process, that is counterintuitive to take that position. There needs to be immigration reform until we get and Capistan established. We're definitely going to need to work within the existing structure to kind of tell, to kind of, come up with a compassionate, relatively open and frictionless immigration policy and system that kind of allows people to come and go and participate in the country and help us out, because immigrants are important. My father was an immigrant. What has he given this great country? He gave birth to a patriot. But other than that, enough said about that. We'll have to go into the long, tenuous, and saga that is my story. To use to take to use the Grassroots Leadership Academy way of looking and categorizing things. So that said, next issue is one that I find interesting, but definitely, I don't know. I just have a different take on it. Our boy, Lord Emperor Trump. So he had to sit down with Vladimir Putin And they came out and had a little bit of a press conference. Questions from the hostile press were asked. And President Trump proceeded to throw the intelligence establishment under the bus. And completely kowtow to, or appear to kowtow to everything like Putin had told him in whatever this closed door meeting was. That's the narrative. Here's the truth. Well, one, I don't care, right? And, you know, it was a sit down. Nothing, I don't think anything tangible is going to really come out of it. I even had my uncle from Nigeria Facebook message me and tell me that, see, this proves that he is in the pocket of Vladimir Putin. And I'm sitting there like, not quite. The guy does have a propensity to love, have bromances with, like, dictators. And really evil people. Now, granted, he may be coming from a position of, hey, I just want peace with people who have nukes. And generally speaking, I would favor that approach. But to sit back and to, on the one hand, say, you know, there was no collusion. And then to have, look, even I, who have a terrible amount of skepticism about what our intelligence organizations, particularly here in the deep state, have come to the conclusion about the Russian elections, which I believe them, right? Because I have seen it demonstrated myself on social media that these bots and these sites and these Facebook groups were there to rabble rouse. It's called information operations, spycraft. It was going on for millennia. But to sit back and just say that, like, hey, Vladimir said that they didn't interfere in the election, and it was very strong. It was very, very strong in how he stated it. So, like, I believe him, yo, is, like, stupid. I've said this before. I'm not a war hawk as much as I am, like, someone who's a realist and a pragmatist. And I can tell you one thing. Russians are not our friends, particularly the Kremlin. Vladimir Putin is, pardon my French, a motherfucking gangster. And kills and murders and maims anyone who gets in his path. He strips motherfuckers of their goddamn fortunes and throws them in Siberian prisons. He is not to be toyed with, and they have been using these types of information operations to influence our political system, both legally and ill. What the fuck you think Sputnik Radio was? What the fuck you think RT is? Right? They're nothing more than counters to BBC and NPR and Voice of America and all this other shit. They're just getting into the propaganda game. I mean, if you see CCTV, right, which is like the Communist Party channel that comes out of China, like, this stuff exists. What do you think Al Jazeera is? What do you think Al Arabiya is? They are smarter in the information warfare game. But here's the deal. Everyone does it. And, like, I don't want to give it false equivalency, right? I mean, their attempts seem to have been a little bit more deeper embedded, and that's only because we have a relatively free and open society, and that there's an incestuous relationship between Brussels, New York, and London, and to a lesser extent, Moscow. This stuff exists. Like, this is the insidiousness of statecraft and the state and states interacting against the people. It's why you have populist revolts across the planet. But you can't get up there and then say, like, one, throw your intelligence apparatus under the bus on foreign soil. Right? It's just not a good look. Even if he's right for saying so, right? Because a lot of us have skepticism of what the intelligence agencies have come across. All they did, particularly with the indictments that came prior to this Helsinki meeting, only thing that happened is their spies got busted. That's it. That's all that happened. You know, I don't understand. Spying is just a thing that happens. And the Russians got the best of us in this context, just like we got the best of the Russians in Ukraine. To sit back and to think that most of that uprising that pushed back against the Putin puppet that was in office at the time in Ukraine, to sit back and to think that like we had nothing to do with that is silly. Of course we did. And so Putin hates Hillary, who hated Hillary Clinton, met the mettle of the Obama administration and found it wanting, said, yeah, this guy, this Trump, you know, he's a disruptor. I mean, they've backed many, many organizations. They you know, it wouldn't shock me if, it actually doesn't shock me. Like, they fund a lot of these alt-right intellectuals. A lot of the intellectual basis for a lot of the people who are the alt-right, which are nothing more than the much more identitarian strain of the white supremacist movement here in the United States. A lot of these guys were funded by, indirectly by Russian, I don't even know, cutouts, front men, who were 6 degrees of separation removed from the Kremlin, but ultimately it was the Kremlin. Alexander Dugin is a thing. It isn't just a Gulenbeck conspiracy. This has been going on forever. They've tested this stuff on Twitter in the past, where they've fomented mistrust. They did it again. They did it back in, I forgot what year it was, where they said like a oil refinery went up in flames down in the Mississippi Gulf Coast. And they posted it on Twitter. No confirmed news reports of it. Caused absolute hysteria. They've been probing and testing in every regime, every government does it. The Russians are just very blatant and very sloppy about it. So, of course, they interfere in our election. And to sit back and to then look into Putin's eyes and see his soul, to quote my old boy W, and say like, oh, nah, man, Putin said it was, but Putin said he ain't did it, man. So I believe Putin. I believe him. I believe him, yo. That's stupid. That was dumb. And, you know, maybe you don't say that in front of him. You know, if you want to show deference to a guy that has just as many nuclear weapons as we do, then, you know, show deference about, you know, other things, right? Don't just fucking sit there and, like, discount, like, the litany of proof that their interference is obvious, particularly on the day where, like, we indict motherfuckers who were spying, right? I mean, it's silly. But, that said, I am done admonishing my boy. Let's take it to the real, man, the reaction. This shit was nuts. And if nothing illustrates more, the fact that the press are in the motherfucking tank for bringing this man down, it's this. It's absolutely this. Like I said, alluding back to my uncle's message that came to me, right? He's in Nigeria, so he gets the international press. The international press despises this man. This despises him and paints him in the worst possible light. And to take it to the extreme where this is treasonous, this is like Pearl Harbor. This is like Kristallnacht. I don't know who that chick was. To say it was all these things that were so terrible, I find so disingenuous. You've turned it up to 10 for too long, lefties, and now people are deaf. They're not hearing you, or at the very least, they're tuning you out with noise-canceling earphones. And I the reactions, you know, from the more, you know, moderate kind of establishment Republicans, they gotta say, you know, hey man, that shit wasn't cool, bro, and stuff like that. And the adults in the room, once Trump got back on the plane, was just like, yo man, hey Donald, you fucked up, dog. You shouldn't have said that shit. And you know, then he came back, and you know, what did Tucker Carlson call it? The hostage video, where he did the briefing from the. One of the rooms in the white oval, and off the oval, where he's like, yeah, that's not what I meant. I meant won't, would, not wouldn't. Or I meant wouldn't, not would. I didn't even know. That excuse was so dumb. You know, because this president, unfortunately, has a nasty tendency to double down on the things that are dumb into, on the good things he says, he just, like, kind of just, you know, buckles. And it wasn't even convincing. And he didn't even believe it. It's kind of like his post-Charlottesville thing, right? You know, his gut is to like, hey, man, is to believe Putin, right? That's his gut, right? That's what he believes, right? Or at the very least, he doesn't want to stir the pot and stuff like that. But the reaction of the press and the left, and how that, using my uncle as a proxy, a foreign proxy, and to see how that projection that the press presents every single day about not just him, but this administration, it's insidious. You know, you got guys calling for impeachment. You got guys calling for coup, military coups. You got guys advocate. You got ex-intelligence chiefs, you know, saying shit that's like real. Like it's almost like the deep space, state mask came off, and like, you know, and like, oh, you can't just this president. You know, the outrage is ridiculous. It's even more outrageous, even coming from my perspective as a guy who didn't even vote for the dude. I'm sick of having to defend him because the accusations lobbed against him and his administration are so over the top. He can't be that bad. Right? And it's funny how this news... What happened to the children at the border? Right? I think we all agree that that was kind of a gross policy. What about that? Nah. That was 2 weeks ago. What about the fact that like Roe v. Wade is going to go away and there's going to be women dying and back alley abortions? No, man, that was like literally a week and a half ago. It's this, and it's this narrative of constantly alluding to the fact that not only did the Russians collude, not only did the Russians interfere, which is proven, but that the Trump administration, or at the very least the Trump campaign, colluded with them to bring down their girl Hillary, who they hate. It's funny. They're trying to defend the legacy of this woman who was a terrible candidate, a terrible person by all objective measures from people who know her and people who talk off the record. You know, it's kind of like me trying to defend Trump. Every time people kind of go over the top and stuff like that, I don't want to defend them and stuff like that, but it's pathological. But you have this chaos that's being sown because of the press. The press is being truly starting to turn into the enemy of the people. And I know that's hyperbolic to say. But listen, you know, this is what Putin wants. He doesn't have to necessarily even have had to interfere in the elections. All he would have had to do is just give the appearance of it and watch people go ballistic. The international left is going ballistic. And the funny thing is, the more ballistic they go, with the advent of social media and the fact that you can dig out the truth from the bias of any story you read from the mainstream media, you have... It's almost brilliant. Vladimir Putin is actually playing underwater, upside down, 4D dimensional MAGA chess. Because if you want to undermine institutions in a country, and trust me, the institutions of the press have been greatly undermined, which as a libertarian and a right-leaning guy, I've always said, you should always like look at them with a skeptical eye. It's undermining our faith in institutions such as our intelligence organizations, which, having used to work for a part of the intelligence organization, I can tell you for a fact that one shouldn't put so much deference in the intelligence organizations of the United States. It has undermined our look at the institution of law enforcement, which, as a libertarian and someone who does not trust the state and who grew up in the African-American community, this is something that we should have always been skeptical of. But what that does at the end of the day is it does foment these reactions. And the reactionary movement is something that I think Putin has directly influenced. Because if you look across Europe, a lot of these far-right parties, you can trace that money back to the Kremlin. And he's played it perfectly. And the overreaction has been, it's dangerous. And it's going to be detrimental to, dare I say the word, our republic, the democracy of our republic, to our belief in the institutions within our democratic republic. And ultimately, it's going to lead to someone far worse than Trump after. And it's going to give the chaos necessary. It's going to allow Putin in the long run to in the long game, to assert global dominance and credibility. And so this whole Russia collusion and Trump being the cock holster for Putin and, you know, all this shit and the alt-right and how all this is interconnected and stuff like that, the leftists need to calm the fuck down. Because there is going to come a time when we're going to probably need to, like, sheathe our swords and look to a bigger enemy. And that bigger enemy is Russia. I'm a Russiaphobe. I ain't gonna lie. Like, you know, like, yeah, Islamic terrorism, I think that's just, that's going to happen. We should be vigilant of that, too. But, I mean, at the end of the day, it's really just fomenting a lot of hatred. And this overreaction to something Trump said, which was stupid. And counterproductive, ultimately, I believe, is worse than what he said, than what Trump said in Helsinki. So, you know. But enough of me, my morning ranting and stuff. I'm going to finish my coffee here, cruise into town. I'm super excited here that I'm going to be getting my gigabit residential internet to my house. So I got to fill out that paperwork and send that off. I'm also going to stop by the Freedom Hub here, the Americans for Prosperity Freedom Hub here in Albuquerque. Talk to some folks, see if there's some folks around, do some stuff today, and I don't know, maybe do some other things, but I'm going to post, you know, so I'm going to hit this up on post-production and make this nice and sexy, and talk to y'all later.